We'll begin reading in verse 25, Numbers 13 and verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, what a joy it is to, as we sang in the hymn, find ourselves nearer, nearer to you. And Lord, with the fulfilled joy of being found close to your heart. God, this morning, we're grateful that you have shared with us your heart in the Word of God. Lord, you have given us here a glimpse of your desire for each one of us who knows Jesus Christ as his or her Savior to be all that you want us to be and to be specifically strong in the Lord. But God, this morning, we're mindful of those that are here that are not strong in the Lord because they've not yet received Jesus Christ as their true foundation, as their rock, as their Savior. And Lord, our prayer today would be that they would come to know you in a personal fashion before this service is over. And God, for those who do know you as their personal Savior, then Lord, we don't want to leave here with the same strength with which we entered. But God, we want to be stronger. Lord, we want to be made more like Christ so that this week we can accomplish even more for our Lord. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When we think of the spies and the lesson that is to be found for us this morning, I hope that all of us will be able to take away strength for the faithful. And if you'd allow me to use that in somewhat of a slightly contemporary sense regarding the definition of that word, if we were to go back according to Holman Bible Dictionary, we find in the Hebrew that that word faithful means steadfast, dedicated, dependable, and worthy of trust. It is derived from the Hebrew root having the basic meaning to trust a person or to believe a statement. The derived meaning is that the one so described is trustworthy, dependable, trusting, or loyal. This morning, we have before us a very interesting story because we find 12 men that went out on the same mission. And yet, when they came back from that mission, we see that there was a variety of results. There was a variety of responses that what they saw, even though all of them visibly with their physical eyes saw the same thing, they did not all come back with the same report. Now, we have to understand here the context as we're talking about Moses and we're looking at everything that God is preparing his people to accomplish and realize that this was a very difficult time in their history. They have gone out of Egypt. They have left everything familiar to them. They have now crossed over the Red Sea and they are about to embark on the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that God had seen fit to promise to them so that they could be God's people and enjoy special blessings that the Lord had laid out specifically for them. But as they went on their journey, they realized that they were getting ready to go into uncharted territory. In fact, when we think about this promised land, we're actually describing a piece of land, specifically about 150 miles in length, and some 60 miles across. So we're not really talking about a very, very large piece of land, but keeping in mind that there were no airplanes, there were no helicopters, there were no stealth fighters. They had to go in on foot and describe the land and come back with an accurate description to Moses so that the children of Israel could continue forward. Now, when I talk about faithful this morning, when we see here these two spies out of the 12 that were faithful, what I'm equally referring to is not just the dependability and the trustworthiness, but rather that these were men who were full of faith, who were completely trusting in what God was going to do. And the wonderful thing is this morning that every single one of us here finds us in one of these two scenarios. We are either faithful or faithless. There's no middle ground. And so when we talk about Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, those of us who have received Him, we have put our faith and trust in Him and therefore know, because we have God's faith, because we have that faith working through us, we know that heaven will be our eternal home. But unfortunately, for those of us who are in that category, it does not necessarily mean that we walk every day full of faith in the sense of our spiritual strength that God has laid out for us in this passage. And this is what I want us to understand this morning. You can be a child of God, you can be a part of God's family, and yet this morning, sitting in church, in the pew, having sung hymns, not be faithful. You see, when we talk about these 12 men, we realize that each one of them was chosen among the 12 tribes of Israel. That is spelled out for us verse by verse in the beginning of this passage. And then Moses sent them out, and they were given the responsibility of going up into the mountain, finding out what is there. The Bible says in verse 14, they were to understand the land. They were also to see regarding the people. And notice here what Moses says in verse 18. He says, see the land, what it is, the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage. Now, when we think of these men going out and realizing when they saw here the people and they saw the cities that they dwelt in, and they saw the landscape, they forgot what Moses had told them to do. They forgot that Moses said, you are to be of good courage. You know, sometimes when we go out in our Christian lives and we are seeking to do what God has asked us to do, we find some difficulties. We find some doors that may not be wide open. We may find those that really are not eager to hear everything that we have to say, are not interested in knowing everything about this book. But you know what God says to each one of us this morning? He says, be of good courage. Now, what is it that you and I are going to take from this passage as we understand these men here? What is it that God desires for you to accomplish in your life today in 2011? Well, we see here that these men, they came back, and 10 of them came back with faulty reasoning. Faulty reasoning. You see, when they came back, the Bible says here that as they returned, they thought that this was too big for God to work. They said, we cannot do it. And what they thought was that they could see what to them was their only hope. So they had faulty reasoning. You know what happens too many times in our Christian lives is God speaks to us and God lays out for us exactly what He wants us to do, and we withdraw from God's perfect will for our lives because we refuse to see what God can do and we only see what we can do.
You know, I love to look back and think of the way in which God divinely saw fit for my dad to come and start Fairfax Baptist Temple over 4 decades ago. Things that he doesn't necessarily brag about. He was a high school dropout. He didn't make it. His mother was jumping up and down for joy when at the age of 17, after getting kicked out of high school, after getting kicked out of military school, he said, "Mom, I've decided I want to join up in the Army. I have to have a parental signature because I'm not 18. She said, "Where's that paper?" She said, "I'll sign every paper you want. Give them to me." She said, "I'm all for it. Let's go." And he went off and served in the U.S. Army and still did not know the Lord as his Savior. He came back. But then I am so grateful that God got a hold of his heart. And he went into a single adult group at a Baptist church. He heard the word of God preached. He went to a single adult retreat. And while standing around that campfire, hearing man after woman after man after woman sharing testimonies of how they had come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that God did a wonderful work in his heart. And gathered around that campfire, he asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save him from his sins. He got his GED. He went off to college. And furthermore, as you all know, eventually went on to earn his doctorate in pastoral counseling. But you know what is so exciting is if he had looked at himself and tried to do things on his own, the last thing he would have ever done was come back to the area that he was from and start a church. But he had faith in what God could do. But he had faith in the fact that God was the one who had called him, God was the one who had saved him, and God was the one who was going to go with him to allow him to accomplish God's specific purpose for his life. But I ask you this morning, what is God speaking to you about in your life? Is there something there that you know full well that you are encountering at this point in time and your faith is wavering? I would ask you, how are you examining that? Are you looking at it through your eyes? Or are you looking at it as far as what God wants to do and to accomplish in and through you? You see, when we talk about the faulty reasoning that is here, there was also a foolish realization that took place. A foolish realization. And that was, they disregarded the words of Moses. Moses has already told them to be of good courage, but they didn't want to be of good courage. They wanted to try and do things their own way. And furthermore, they also equally disregarded the word of the Lord. You know what happens a lot of times today is when we hear the truth and we hear what God wants us to do, we just plain outright don't want to do it. You know, we see here in God's word the responsibilities that we have towards our fellow man. We see the responsibilities that we have to our brothers and sisters, to our families. And we also see the responsibilities that God lays out for us in his word towards the family of God. And yet how often we say, "Well, you just don't understand my situation." We come and we hear the word of God taught. A Bible study fellowship session, we hear the word of God preached, and we say, "Well, that may sound nice, but that's just not for me." And you see, what makes the difference between the child of God who is made strong in the Lord and the other child of God who never reaches the strength that God wants to give to him, although they are in the same environment, under the same preaching and the same teaching, is that one is desirous of doing what God says. And the other simply wants to blend in. You know, it would have been very interesting if those 10 men had come back, having disregarded Moses' instructions, having disregarded the word of the Lord, and if they had come back and been able to persuade Joshua and Caleb otherwise. But thank God they were unsuccessful. But you know, there's something that we have to be careful that we don't overlook here. Those 10 men came back, and notice the description that God Almighty gives to the report that they gave. Follow along with me as we see here in verse 32. they said, the Bible says, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Now, let's not be too simple here, but I mean, when we think about what has been said of everything that we find in the Word of God, there was no foul language that they were using. It was not evil in the sense of corrupt. There was nothing here. There were no moral allegations that were laid that someone would be able to very quickly put their finger on and say, oh, well, obviously that is bad. What was evil here was their lack of faith in an all-powerful God. So what does that mean to me today? If I know full well that God is giving me instructions and I choose not to trust Him through those instructions, then my lack of faith truly is sin and evil in God's eyes. It's not just the bad things that I do, but it's the good things that I don't accomplish with my life simply because I don't have the faith that God wants me to have. And you know, all too often, we tend to compare everything with the external. And we say, well, you know, I haven't done this, and I haven't done that, and I haven't gone there, and I haven't been with so-and-so, and no one could ever accuse me of this. But I ask you, we are now in October of 2011. How much stronger are you in the Lord today than you were January 1? And if you can't quickly say, hey, listen, God's done this, He's taught me this, He's taught me this, then I submit to you this morning that you are in sin. And we don't like to hear that. But you see, the church today, the only way that the church today is going to accomplish God's perfect will in terms of reaching this world with the gospel, of making a difference upon our community, and of truly seeing more churches established and more people called to go out, is to the extent that you and I will say, I want to keep growing. I don't want to stay where I am. I don't want to look back at everything that I've done and say, well, you know, that's fine. I can coast for a while. But then I've got to say, Lord, until I take my last breath, I want every day of my life to be made stronger in my great God. And you know what is so wonderful about that is that as you and I are made stronger in the Lord, so much more can be accomplished. But I also want to give us a warning this morning. Because due to 10 men who had a lack of faith, let's look at what the result was upon the children of Israel. In chapter 14, in verse 1. Okay, we've just read, they brought up an evil report. And the only thing that was evil, according to what we have in the scripture, was simply the fact that they did not believe that God could do what He said He could do. The Bible says in verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. You see, the complaining in which they engaged was contagious. Now, I thank God for Joshua and Caleb and for the courage that they had. But they were not in a majority. They were not standing there and everyone was saying, all right, Joshua, this sounds great. All right, Caleb, I'm all for you. No, those other 10 men who brought a sinful, evil report succeeded through their complaining in causing the entire nation of Israel to miss out on God's blessings. And sometimes you and I don't take into account the fact that my lack of faith in God will affect adversely someone else. And at the same time, we have to remember that my exercise of faith in God, although it may not affect someone else around me, will ultimately be rewarded by my God. No, when we think about all of the
complaining. We realize, of course, that the spies had the same opportunity. They went to the same land and they saw the same obstacles.
Said that they went in the fall time, which would have been the time of grape gathering. They brought back grapes that they said that that particular region of the world is known for. They're about the size of a plum. And said that you can take a cluster of grapes, can literally weigh about 10 pounds. We also know from the journey, as it is laid out for us in the scriptures before us, that they went about 500 miles over a period of 40 days. So they didn't just like walk down the street and turn around and come back. But all throughout that journey that was there, all throughout everything they saw, the cities, and of course they were quick to point out the sons of Anak, and we can go back and find out historically that it is believed that they were more than likely between 7 to 9 feet in height. So those of you who are 6 foot five or a little bit above, you were still midgets in their eyes. But you know what happened was they didn't appreciate God's perspective. They didn't realize that, hey, God has seen this in a totally different light. And God is the one who has called us to do this. And so God is the one who we are to follow, even though it doesn't quite make sense. For you see, God says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. What looks big to me in God's eyes is still insignificant. You see, all of us in God's eyes are the same. We're all small creatures. But we are all creatures who are capable of doing great things for God if we will have faith in what God has called us to do. But I ask you this morning, are you really willing to heed his voice as he speaks to you? You truly desirous of following through in God's will for your life? You know, it's interesting when we talk about those that were faithful and we realize that Moses had messed up. He got hasty and got angry one time before God. And God had told him to speak to the rock so that water would come out, and instead he smote the rock. And as a result, then God still allowed the waters to come out and satisfy the needs of the children of Israel. But God said, you're not going to go in that promised land. Now, what we think about outside of that, nevertheless, Moses was still a man of faith. In fact, back in chapter 12, as Aaron and Miriam are trying to dispute against him, God is the one who sets the record straight and says, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house, in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. Can you imagine a better accolade than to have God say of you, you see that lady down there, you see that man down there, you see that teenager who's a member of Fairfax Baptist Temple, he is faithful in all mine house. She is faithful in everything that I require of her. It was A.W. Tozer who once said, faith comes first to the hearing ear, not to the cogitating mind. Of course, Paul tells it like this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. But you know, when we talk about our Lord, as was alluded to briefly in the offertory remarks today, God has given us a lot of promises. And all God is desirous of asking you to do is to put your faith in what he has told you to do. And to not try and stand back and to figure things out and to try and say, well, you know, I'm not so sure I've got to do this, and I'm not so sure this applies to me, and I'm not so sure about these other things over here. Just take God at his word. Leave the rest up to him. You know, young people, you may be saying, how could God ever use me as a missionary? How could God ever use me as a pastor? Don't run down all the what-ifs. If you know God is speaking to you, then say, God, I'm going to do it. Don't know how it's going to happen, but I'm willing to trust you. And mom or dad, if you're looking around and thinking, well, you know, How could my child go? Trust God to take care of them just as much as He can take care of you. No, we think about honoring the Lord and the simple things. Giving to God. Tithing. Giving back of our financial resources. You want to know the happiest Christians in our church are the ones who joyfully give to God week after week, no matter what their circumstances are. Because they have learned to put faith in God, realizing God is going to meet my needs. May not always be able to explain it. May not always come out right on a balance sheet. But God's bank has never declared bankruptcy.
Amen.
And thank God that He will bless those who are faithful in giving to Him. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, being fully persuaded what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Paul reminds us in Romans 8, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And later on in verse 37 of the same chapter, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I'm grateful this morning. My God is alive. My God is all powerful. And my God is desirous of giving me the final result that will bring honor and glory to Him. But you know what happened here when this group decided to start complaining and they started to do things in their own way and they started to not trust in what God could do? You see, it didn't cause them to want to go forward, but it made them want to go backward. Where was it that they wanted to go to in chapter 14 and verse 2? Would God we had died in the land of, what's it say?
Egypt.
Going backwards. You want to know what will happen to you if you don't trust God? You won't go forward and you won't stay in the same place according to the Word of God. You'll go backwards. And you will miss out on things that you will never know if you don't take that step and say, God, I'm willing to trust You completely. You may be looking around right now and saying, Pastor, everywhere I look, I see giants. Just remember that those giants that seem like giants to you are grasshoppers in the eyes of your all-powerful God. You may be looking at all kinds of insurmountable odds and incredible circumstances. And what God is telling you today, be of good courage. He is stronger than your strongest enemy. But are we willing to live that way? Are we going to allow our lives to be characterized by a deeper faith in Him? No, when we think about how easy it is for us to get our eyes off of the Lord, then we begin to murmur and enter into disputings or disagreements, as the Bible says in Philippians 2, verse 14. But you know, there are also those, when it comes to entering into heaven someday, every single person who has refused to put his or her faith and trust in an almighty God will undoubtedly, indisputably, spend an eternity in a real place called hell. And you know what? There are people that can come to Fairfax Baptist Temple week after week and hear the Word of God preached, and the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart, and yet they refuse to repent of their sins and recognize Jesus as their only hope. And I just want to tell you this morning, this pastor, this preacher can't save you. This preacher has never saved anyone. But thank God, my all-powerful God, who sent His Holy Son to die on the cross of Calvary, not only can save you, but the Bible says He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and He wants to save you. But you've got to make that step. You've got to come out of your seat and you've got to leave your comfort zone and say, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I don't want to leave here the way that I came. There are others of you this morning whose faith is being put to the test. And I want to remind you that as we continue to trust in our God, He has never and will never fail us under any circumstances. Amen. A number of news sources reported this last week, and I confess I have not yet been able to validate the end of the story. I don't know if it was reported and I just didn't see it, or if there's not been any reporting on it. But perhaps you've heard of the Iranian pastor, Youssef Nadarkhani, who 1 week ago today faced the death penalty for apostasy and his faith was being tried in court. It's said that he is a young pastor of Iran's largest house church movement, which includes a membership of over 400 people. And he told an Iranian court that he would not recant his faith despite facing an execution possibly as early as 2 days ago. An execution for abandoning Islam, according to church sources. Pastor Youssef was asked by the Golan Provincial Court in the city of Rash to repent ahead of his hearing this past Tuesday, but he declined. And he said, and I quote, "Repent means to return. What should I return to? To the blasphemy that I had before my faith in Christ?" He's 34 years old. A husband and a father. The court told him to return to the religion of your ancestors, Islam, to which he replied, "I cannot." But you know what's interesting about that? Fellow Christians, after the trial, described him the following phrase. They said, "He is happy with his faith strong." For all I know, he may have been set free. I do not know. But nevertheless, his faith was put to the test this week in 2011. Very convenient it would have been for him to have verbally recanted and somehow tried to say, "But I'm holding my faith in my heart." But that's not what God is asking of us today. God wants us to say, "Lord, I will trust you with my life." Our young people on Friday night presented to us a very powerful, dramatic presentation, No Place to Flee, regarding the true life events of Christians persecuted behind the Iron Curtain. Thankfully, that no longer exists, but we are fools to say that there is no religious persecution in those very same countries, because there is. But you know, you and I, in 2011, have the opportunity to say, "I'm going to do what God says. This week, I'm going to dig deeper into His Word than I've ever dug before. And I'm going to come to church with a desire of using my gifts and talents and abilities for God's honor and glory so that greater things can be accomplished for the Lord." Or there are those who will say, "Not for me, brother. Let somebody else do that. I've already got plenty on my plate." But I want to remind all of us, too often we think we can trust God with the little things, but what God wants to do is He wants us to trust Him with the big things too. You see, this group here, the Amalekites, back in Exodus chapter 17, they had already been defeated one time. Remember when Moses' hands were heavy, and so Aaron and Hur came and held up his hands, and as his hands were up, The Israelites prevailed and they eventually won the battle. That was against the same people. You see, they had already seen what God was capable of doing. But they looked ahead and they looked at what they could do as opposed to what God could do. What about that coworker that needs to hear the gospel? You've been too afraid to witness to him. What about that family member that's wandered from the Lord and you've written him off? Could God use you this week to speak to them? Could God use you this week to have more courage and more strength? But you see, the only way you're going to have that courage and that strength is by living by this book and making this your guide for life. Daniel writes in Daniel chapter 3 of the three men that were about to be cast into the fiery furnace. And as they spoke to the king, when they too were told to recant, they said, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." We don't know all of the details of God's will for our lives, but we do know, and we all can know, what God wants us to do at this exact moment in time. And in spite of that, there are still those who are not being faithful. I close with the words of the Apostle Paul. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer.